Hello everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation, I'm at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is June 1, 2025, or it is the 7th day of Sivan, 2029. We will start our service on this Pentecost Day. This is reading from Ellen G. White's The Acts of the Apostles. We're on chapter 4. And so, as we begin, page 1 of that chapter, page 35, the overall book, entitled Pentecost, as the disciples returned from the Olivet to Jerusalem, the people looked on them, expecting to see on their faces expression of sorrow, confusion, and defeat. But they saw their gladness and triumph, for the disciples did not now mourn over the disappointed hopes, for they had seen the risen Savior, and the words of his parting promise echoed constantly in their cars.
In
the obedience unto Yeshua's command, they waited in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And the wait outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for they did not wait in the idleness. For the record says that they were all continually in the temple praising and blessing Yahweh. Luke 24:53. For they also met together to present their request unto the Father in the name of the Yahshua. For they knew that they had a representative in heaven, an advocate at the throne of the Yahweh. In the solemn awe, they bowed in prayer, repeating the assurance, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 16:23-24. That is said, higher and still higher, they extended the hand of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, with a mighty argument. For it is the Yahshua that that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of Yahweh the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. Romans 8:34. As the disciples waited for the fulfillment of the promise, they humble their hearts in the true repentance and confess their unbelief as they call to remembrance the words that Yahshua had spoken unto them before his death, that they understood more fully their meaning. For the truth which had passed from their memory were again brought unto their minds, and these they repeated unto one another, for they reproached themselves for the misapprehension of the Savior, like a procession, scene after scene of his wonderful life passed before them. As they meditated upon his pure, holy life, they felt that no toil would be too hard, no sacrifice too great, if only they could bear witness in their life unto the loveliness of the Yeshua's character. Oh, if they could but have the past 3 years to live over, they saw how differently they would act if they could only see the Master again, how earnestly they would strive to show him how deeply they loved him, and how sincerely they sorrowed for having ever grieved him by a word or an act of unbelief, but they were comforted by the thought that they were forgiven, and they determined that so far as possible, they would atone for their unbelief by the bravely confessing him before the world. For the disciples prayed with the intense earnestness for a fitness to meet men, and in their daily intercourse to speak words that would lead sinners to the Yeshua, putting away all differences, all desire for the supremacy, they came close together in the Christian fellowship. They drew nearer and nearer unto Yahweh, and as they did this, they realized what a privilege had been theirs in being permitted to associate so closely with the Yeshua. Sadness filled their hearts as they thought of how many times they had grieved him by their slowness of the comprehension, their failure to understand the lessons that for their good he was trying to teach them. For these days of the preparation were the days of the deep heart searching. For the disciples felt their spiritual need and cried unto the Yeshua for the holy unction that was to fit them for the work of the soul saving. For they did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden of the salvation of souls. They realized that the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant, having faith in that, was to be carried unto the world. And they claimed the power that the Yeshua had promised. During the patriarchal age, the influence of the Holy Spirit had often been realized in a marked manner, but never in its fullness. Now, in the obedience unto the word of the Savior, the disciples offered their supplication for this gift. And in heaven, Yahshua added his intercession, for he claimed the gift of the Spirit, that he might pour it upon his people. And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with the one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. For the Spirit came upon the waiting, praying disciples with a fullness that reached every heart, for the Infinite One revealed himself in the power unto his church. It was as if for ages this influence had been held in a restraint, and now heaven rejoiced in the being able to pour out upon the church the riches of the Spirit's grace, and under or with the influence of the Spirit, with the words of the penitence and with the confession mingled with the songs of the praise for the sins forgiven, words of the thanks given and of the prophecy were heard. All heaven bent low to behold and to adore the wisdom of the matchless incomprehensible love. Lost in the wonder, the apostles exclaim, "Herein is love," for they grasp the imparted gift. And what followed, the sword of the Spirit, newly edged with the power and bathed in the lightnings of heaven, cut its way through the unbelief. Thousands were converted in a day. It is expedient for you that I go away, Yahshua has said unto his disciples. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16:7-13. For the Yahshua's ascension into heaven was the signal that his followers were to receive the promised blessing. For this, they were to wait before they entered upon their work. When Yahshua passed within the heavenly gate, he was enthroned amidst the adoration of the angels. As soon as this ceremony was completed, for the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in the rich currents, and Yahshua was indeed glorified, even with the glory which he had with the Father from all eternity. For the Pentecostal outpouring was a heaven communication that the Redeemer's inauguration was accomplished. According unto his promise, he had sent the Holy Spirit from heaven unto his followers as a token that he had, as the priest and king, received all authority in heaven and on earth, and was the anointed one over his people. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of the fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with the other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. For the Holy Spirit, assuming the form of the tongues of fire, rested upon those assembled. This was an emblem of the gift then bestowed on the disciples, which enabled them to speak with the fluency languages with which they had hitherto before been unacquainted. For the appearance of the fire signified the fervent zeal with which the apostles would labor and the power that would attend their work. They were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under the heaven during the dispersion of the Jews had been scattered unto almost every part of the inhabited world, and in their exile they had learned to speak various languages. Many of these Jews were on the occasion in Jerusalem attending the religious festival. Then, in the progress, every known tongue was represented by those assembled. This diversity of the languages would have been a great hindrance unto the proclamation of the gospel, for the Yahweh therefore in a miraculous manner supplied the deficiency of the apostles. For the Holy Spirit did for them that which they could not have accomplished for themselves in a lifetime, for they could now proclaim the truth of the gospel abroad, speaking with the accuracy the languages of those for whom they were laboring. For this miraculous gift was a strong evidence unto the world that their commission bore the signet of the heaven. From this time forth, the language of the disciples was pure, simple, and accurate. Whether they spoke in their native tongue or in a foreign language, okay. So it says, I'm going to read that again. From this time forth, the language of the disciples was pure, simple, and accurate. Whether they spoke in their native tongue or in a foreign language. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one unto another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? For the priests and rulers were greatly enraged at this wonderful manifestation, but they did not give way unto their malice, for the fear of exposing themselves to the violence of the people. For they had put the Nazarene to death, yet here were his servants, unlettered men of Galilee, telling in all of the languages, then spoken, for the story of his life and ministry. For the priest determined to account for the miraculous power of the disciples, in some natural way declared that they were drunken from the partaking largely of the new wine prepared for the feast. Some of the most ignorant of the people present seized upon this suggestion as the truth, but the more intelligent knew it to be false, and those who understood the different languages testified unto the accuracy with which these languages were used by the disciples. In the answer unto the accusation of the priest, Peter showed that this demonstration was in the direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, wherein he foretold that such power would come upon men to fit them for a special work. For the men of the Judea and all ye that dwell at the Jerusalem, he said, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Yahweh, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy with the clearness and power. Peter bore witness of the death and resurrection of the Yahshua. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. For the Yahshua of the Nazareth, as a man approved of the Yahweh among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which the Yahweh did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know him. You have taken, and by their wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom the Yahweh has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For the Peter did not refer unto the teachings of the Yahshua for the proving of his position, because he knew that the prejudice of his hearers was so great that his words on this subject would be of no effect. Instead, he spoke to them of the David, who was regarded by the Jews as one of the patriarchs of their nation. For the David speaking concerning him, he declared, I foresaw Yahshua always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see a corruption. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. He spake of the resurrection of the Yahshua, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see a corruption. For this Yahshua hath the Yahweh, the Father, raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. For the scene is as the one full of the entrance. For behold, people coming from all the directions for the hearing of the disciples witness unto the truth as it is in the Yahshua. For they press in, crowding the temple, priests and rulers are there. For the dark scowl of the malignity still on their faces, their hearts still filled with the abiding hatred against Yahshua, their hands uncleansed from the blood shed when they crucified the world's Redeemer, they had sought to find the apostles cowed with the fear under or with the strong hand of the oppression and murder. Verily, they find them lifted above all the fear and filled with all of the Spirit by the proclaiming with the power of the divinity of the Yahshua of the Nazareth, where they bear them or the, where they hear them the declaring with the boldness that the one so recently humiliated, derided, smitten by the cruel hand and crucified is the Prince of Life, now exalted unto the right hand of Yahweh. Some of those who listened and to the apostles had taken an active part in the condemnation and death of Yahshua, for their voices had mingled with the rabble in the calling for his crucifixion. When the Yahshua and Barabbas stood before them in the judgment hall, and Pilate asked, "Whom will ye that I release unto you?" They had shouted, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Matthew 27:17. John 18:40. When the Pilate delivered Yahshua unto them, saying, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. I am innocent of the blood of this just person." They had cried, "His blood be on us and on our children." John 19:6. Matthew 27:24, 25:1. Now they heard the disciples declaring that it was the Son of Yahweh who had been crucified. Priests and rulers trembled. Conviction and anguish seized the people, for they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Among those who listened to the disciples were the devout Jews, who were sincere in their belief. For the power that accompanied the words of the speaker convinced them that the Yahshua was indeed the Messiah. Then the Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Yahshua, Messiah, for the remission of the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as Yahshua our Savior our Redeemer shall call." For the Peter urged home upon the convicted people of the fact that they had indeed rejected the Yahshua because they had been deceived by the priests and rulers, and that if they continued for the looking unto these men for the counsel and waited for them for the acknowledging of the Yahshua before they dare to do so, they would never accept him. For these powerful men, though making a profession of the righteousness, were ambitious for the earthly riches and glory, for they were not willing to come unto Yahshua to receive the light. With the influence of this heavenly illumination, the scriptures that Yahshua had exclaimed unto the disciples stood out before them with the luster of the perfect truth, for the veil that had prevented them from seeing unto the end of that which had been abolished was now removed, and they comprehended with the perfect clearness the object of the Yahshua's mission and the nature of his kingdom, where they could speak with the power of the Savior. And as they unfolded unto their hearers the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way now of the new covenant, were convicted and convinced, where the traditions and superstition and talk insulated by the priests were swept away from their minds, and the teachings of the Savior were accepted. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. For the Jewish leaders had supposed that the work of the Yahshua would end with his death. But instead of this, they witnessed the marvelous scenes of the day of the Pentecost. For they heard the disciples endowed with the power and energy hitherto unknown preaching Yahshua, their words confirmed by the signs and wonders in the Jerusalem, the stronghold of the Judaism. Thousands openly declared their faith in the Yahshua of the Nazareth as the Messiah. For the disciples were astonished and overjoyed at the greatness of the harvest of the souls. For they did not regard this wonderful ingathering as a result of their own efforts, for they realized that they were entering into other men's labors. Ever since the fall of Adam, Yahshua had been committing unto chosen servants the seed of his word to be sown in the human hearts during his life on this earth. He had sown the seed of the truth and had watered it with his blood. For the conversion that took place on the day of the Pentecost were the result of this sowing, the harvest of Yahshua's work revealing the power of his teaching. For the arguments of the apostles alone, though clear and convincing, would not have removed the prejudice that had withstood so much evidence, that the Holy Spirit sent the arguments home to the hearts with the divine power. For the words of the apostles were as the sharp arrows of the Almighty, convicting men of the terrible guilt and the rejecting and crucifying the Yeshua of the glory. With the training of the Yeshua, the disciples had been led for the feeling of their need of the Holy Spirit that emanated from Yeshua, their Savior and Redeemer. With the Spirit's teaching, they received the final qualification and went forth unto their life work. No longer were they ignorant and uncultured. No longer were they a collection of the independent units or a discordant, conflicting elements. No longer were their hopes set on worldly greatness. They were of the one accord, of the one heart, and of the one soul. Acts 2:46, 4:32. For the Yahshua filled their thoughts with the advancement of his kingdom was their aim. In the mind and character, they had become alike of their master and men took knowledge of them that they had been with the Yahshua. Acts 4:13. For the Pentecost brought them the heavenly illumination with the truth that they could not understand while with the Yahshua was with them, while the Yahshua was with them, were now unfolded with a faith and assurance that they had never before known, for they accepted the teachings of the sacred word. No longer was it a matter of the faith with them that the Yahshua was the son of the Yahweh, for they knew that although clothed with humanity, he was indeed the Messiah. And they told their experience unto the world with a confidence which carried with it the conviction that the Yahweh was with them, where they could speak the name of the Yahshua with the assurance, for was he not their friend and elder brother, brought into the close communion with the Yahshua, where they sat with him in the heavenly places with what burning language they shared their ideas as they bore witness unto him. Their hearts were surcharged with a benevolence so full, so deep, so far-reaching that it impelled them to go unto the ends of the earth, testifying unto the power of the Yahshua, for they were filled with an intense longing to carry forward the work he had begun. They realized the greatness of their debt unto heaven and the responsibility of their work, strengthened by the endowment of the Holy Spirit. They went forth filled with a zeal for the extending of the triumphs of the cross, for the Spirit animated them and spoke to them, for the peace of the Yahshua shone from their faces, for they had consecrated their lives unto him for the service, and their very features bore evidence unto the surrender that they had made. This brings the end of chapter number 4.
It's not too long.
Chapter 5, The Gift of the Spirit, I've said the Apostle, Ellen G. White. We're on page 47, when the Yahshua gave his disciples the promise of the Spirit He was nearing the close of his earthly ministry, for he was standing in the shadow of the cross with a full realization of the load of the guilt that was to rest upon him as a sin bearer before offering himself as a sacrificial victim. He instructed his disciples regarding a most essential and complete gift which he was to bestow upon his followers, the gift that would bring within their reach the boundless resources of his grace. "I will pray the Father," he said, "and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." John 14:16-17. For the Savior was pointing forward unto the time when the Holy Spirit should come to do a mighty work as his representative for the evil that had been accumulating for the centuries was to be resisted by the divine power of the Holy Spirit. What was the result of the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of the Pentecost? The glad tidings of a risen Savior were carried unto the uttermost parts of the inhabited world. As the disciples proclaimed the message of the redeeming grace, hush yielded unto the power of this message. For the church beheld converts flocking to her from all the directions, for the backsliders were reconverted, for the sinners united with the believers in the seeking of the pearl of the great price. Some who had been the bitterest opponents of the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood, or faith in the blood of Yahshua, became its champions, for the prophecy was fulfilled: "He that is feeble shall be as the David, and the house of the David as the angel of the Yahshua." Zechariah 12:8. Every Christian saw in his brother a revelation of the divine love and benevolence. One interest prevailed. One subject of the emulations swallowed up all the others, for the ambition of the believers was to reveal the likeness of the Yahshua's character and to labor for the enlargement of his kingdom. With the great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Yahshua, and great grace was upon them. Acts 4:33. With the labors were added unto the church chosen men, who, receiving the word of the truth, consecrated their lives unto the work of the giving unto others the hope that filled their hearts with the peace and joy. They could not be restrained or intimidated by the threatenings, for Yahshua spoke through them, and as they went from place to place, the poor had the gospel preached unto them, and miracles of the divine grace were wrought. So mightily can the Yahweh work when men give themselves up unto the control of His Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is not limited unto any age or unto any race, for Yahshua declared that the divine influence of His Spirit was to be with His followers unto the end, from the day of the Pentecost unto the present time. The Comforter has been sent unto all who have yielded themselves fully unto Yahshua and unto His service. Unto all who have accepted Yahshua as a personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has come as a counselor, sanctifier, guide, and witness. For the more closely believers have walked with the Yahweh, the more clearly and powerfully have they testified of their Redeemer's love. Let's go back and read that last sentence over. For the more closely that the believers have walked with their Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah, the more clearly and powerfully have they testified of their Redeemer's love and of His saving grace. For the men and women who through the long centuries of the persecution and trial enjoyed a large measure of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives have stood as the signs and wonders in the world. Before angels and men, they have revealed the transforming power of the redeeming love. Those who at the Pentecost were endued with the power from on high were not thereby freed from the further temptation and trial. As a witness for the truth and righteousness, they were repeatedly assailed by the enemy of all truth, who sought to rob them of their apostolic experience, for they were compelled to strive with all of the Yahweh-given powers for the reaching of the measure of the stature of men and women in the Yahshua. Daily they prayed for the fresh supplies of the grace that they might reach higher and still higher toward the perfection under or with the Holy Spirit's working, even the weakest by the exercising faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Learn for the improving of their entrusted powers and to become sanctified, refined, and ennobled as in the humility they submitted unto the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, for they received of the fullness of the Godhead and were fashioned in the likeness of the divine similitude. For the lapse of the time has wrought no change in the Yahshua's parting promise for the sending of the Holy Spirit as His representative, for it is not because of any restriction on the part of the Yahshua that the riches of His grace do not flow earthward unto men. If the fulfillment of the promise is not seen as it might be, it is because the promise is not appreciated as it should be. If all were willing, all would be filled with the Holy Spirit wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter a little thought of. For there is a sense of spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power which is necessary for the growth and prosperity of the church, and which would bring all other blessings in its train, is lacking, though offered in the infinite plenitude. Since this is the means by which we are to receive the power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Why do we not talk of the Holy Spirit, pray for the Holy Spirit, and preach concerning the Holy Spirit? For the Yeshua is more willing to give of the Holy Spirit unto those who serve him than the parents are to give good gifts unto their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition unto Yahweh. Companions of the Christian workers should gather to ask for the special help for the heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. Especially should they pray that the Yahweh will baptize his chosen ambassadors in the mission field with a rich measure of his Holy Spirit. For the presence of the Holy Spirit with the Yahshua's workers will give the proclamation of the truth a power that not all the honor or glory of the world could give. With the consecrated worker for the Yahweh, in whatever place he may be, the Holy Spirit abides. For the words spoken unto the disciples are spoken also unto us. For the Comforter is ours as well as theirs. For the Spirit furnishes the strength that sustains a striving, resting souls in every emergency amidst the hatred of the world, and the realization of their own failures and mistakes, and the sorrow and affliction when the outlook seems dark and the future perplexing, and we feel helpless and alone. There are the times when in the answer unto the prayer of the faith and the blood of the Yahshua, the Holy Spirit brings comfort unto the heart. It is not a conclusive evidence that a man is an apostolic, antitypical apostolic believer because he manifests the spiritual ecstasy with the extraordinary circumstances. I hope for the holiness is not a rapture, for it is an entire surrender of the will unto the Father Yahweh, for it is living by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Yahweh. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father, for it is trusting Yahweh in the trial and the darkness, as well as in the light, for it is walking by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, and not by the sight, for it is a relying on the Yahweh with the unquestioning confidence and resting in His love. It is not essential for us to be able to define just what the Holy Spirit is, for Yahshua tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. For the Holy Spirit, a Comforter, with the Spirit of the Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, for it is plainly declared regarding the Holy Spirit that in his work as a guiding man unto all the truth, he shall not speak of himself, John 15:26 and 16:13. For the nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery. Men cannot explain it because the Yahshua has not revealed it unto them. For the men, having fanciful views, may bring together passages of the Scripture and put a human construction on them, but the acceptance of these views will not strengthen the Church regarding such mysteries, which are too deep for the human understanding. Silence is golden. For the office of the Holy Spirit is distinctly specified in the words of the Yahshua. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16:8. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin. If the sinner responds to the quickening influence of the Spirit, he will be brought unto repentance and aroused unto the importance of the obeying of the divine requirements. For the repentant sinner, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness, the Holy Spirit reveals the Lamb of the Yahweh that taketh away the sin of the world. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. For Yahshua said, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, John 16:14 and 14:26. For the Spirit is given as a regenerating agency for the making effectual the salvation wrought by the death of our Redeemer. For the Holy Spirit is constantly seeking for the drawing of the attention of the men unto the great offering that was made on the cross of the Calvary, for the unfolding unto the world the love of the Yahweh, and for the opening unto the convicted soul the precious things of the Scriptures. Having brought conviction of sin and presented before the mind the standard of the righteousness, the Holy Spirit withdraws the affections from the things of this earth and fills the soul with a desire for the holiness, for he will guide you into all the truth. John 16:13. For the Savior declared, if the men are willing to be molded, there will be brought about of a sanctification of the whole being. For the Spirit will take the things of Yahweh and stamp them on the soul by his power. The way of life will be made so plain that none need err therein. From the beginning, the Yahweh had been working by the Holy Spirit through the human instrumentalities. Let's do it again. From the beginning, the Yahweh has been working by his Holy Spirit through the human instrumentality for the accomplishment of his purpose and the behalf of the fallen race. This was manifest in the lives of the patriarchs, for the church and the wilderness also in the time of the Moses, Yahweh gave his good spirit for the instruction them, for the Nehemiah 9:20, in the days of the apostles. He wrought mightily for his church through the agency of the Holy Spirit, for the same power that sustained the patriarchs, that gave Caleb and Joshua faith and church, and that made the work of the apostles church effective, has upheld Yahweh's faithful children in the every succeeding age. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that during the Dark Ages, the Waldensians, Christians, or the Waldensian believers, antitypical apostolic believers, helped for the preparing of the way for the Reformation. For it was the same power that made successful the efforts of the noble men and women who pioneered the way for the establishment of the modern missions and for the translation of the Bible into the languages and dialects of all nations and peoples. And today Yahweh is still using his church for the making known of his purpose in the earth. Today, the heralds of the cross are going from city to city and from land to land, preparing the way for the second advent of the Yahshua. For the standing of the Yahweh's law is being exalted. For the Holy Spirit of the Almighty is moving upon the men's hearts, and those who respond unto the Holy Spirit's influence become witnesses for the Yahweh and for His truth. In the many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating unto others the light that has made plain unto them the way of the salvation through the Yahshua, and as they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of the Pentecost, they receive more and still more of the Spirit's power. Thus the church is to be enlightened with the glory of the Yahweh the Father. This brings the end of my study. This hour, contact at the 11th hour call. Remember, I'm going to click on the audio or the. We're going to close now with a song.